Good morning and happy Sabbath, and thank you for joining us today for Central Study Hour here in Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're excited that you're joining us as we continue to study about God's love and justice. But before we dive into today's lesson, please join us in our hymnals as we sing a few songs in praises to God. Our first song that we will be singing is hymn number 579, "'Tis Love That Makes Us Happy."
"'Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that shows the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. Happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. And when this life is over and we are called above, our song shall be eternally of Jesus and His love. God is love. Little children, God is love. We would be like Him. 'Tis love that makes us happy. 'Tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day."
Here in Sacramento Central, we like to sing your favorite hymns. If you would like for us to sing one of your favorite hymns, you could let us know by visiting our website at saccentral.org. Click on the link at the top that says Contact Us, then click on the link that says CSH Hymn Requests. We look forward to singing your favorite hymn. Our next song and last song that we will be singing is hymn number 412, "Cover With His Life." We will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with His life, whiter than snow. Cover with His life, whiter than snow. Fullness of His life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, sin and woe, cover with His life, whiter than snow. Deep are the wounds transgression has made, red are the stains, my soul is afraid. Oh, could we covered, Jesus, with Thee, from the law that Thou judgeth me. Cover with His life, whiter than snow. Fullness of His life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with His life, pure and clean, sanctified by obeying His word, glorified when returneth my Lord, covered with His life, whiter than snow, fullness of His life, then shall I
singing with us. Please join me as we have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful and blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to study more about your love and justice, which some people may believe are two separate things, but in fact, as we continue to learn, that they are intricately linked. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will come down and dwell within our hearts and minds so that we can understand the lesson that will be taught to us by Dr. Ford. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our lesson today is lesson number 12, Love and Justice, the Two Greatest Commandments. And Dr. Ray Ford will be presenting us today's lesson. Have a blessed, wonderful Sabbath day.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good day. Good day. Happy Sabbath. It's so nice to be in God's house once again and studying His Word. And I pray that we would be blessed as we go through this study today. Our offer this morning is the CD and DVD is offer number CS and CAT 202512. CS and CAT 202512. Or you could call 916-457-6511, 916-457-6511. Or you could also email us at Central Study Hour, CSH at SuckCentral.org, CSH at SuckCentral.org. All right, well, let's get into our lesson. Again, we are studying from the quarterly God's Love and Justice, and we are going to be looking at lesson 12, which is the two greatest commandments, love and justice. Let us go ahead and open up with a word of prayer as we get into today's lesson. Our Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege of coming into your house and of reading your word and studying your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will take control and take full charge, Father, that our hearts will be blessed. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, love and justice are our themes for the day, the two greatest commandments. And our memory text is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 is our memory text, but I'm also going to add verse 21 because we would also be referring to verse 21. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, we read, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Now the word, there's a word there in verse 21, must. That must is supplied, so I skipped it. Okay, because if you love God, automatically, you would love your brother. Amen. All right. So the lesson talks about here the love and justice of God and how love and justice go together. They are inseparable. Yeah? God loves justice. Accordingly, if we love God, we will love justice as well. So if we claim to love God, these will be the attributes that we will demonstrate. And it says here in our last paragraph for Sabbath afternoon, likewise, if we love God, we will love one another. Part of loving one another is sharing a concern for the well-being of those around us. Well, let's continue our study by going on to Sunday. And we shall read here where it talks about the two greatest commandments. The two greatest commandments. Let's look at some scripture here. We the quarterly gives us a lot of scripture. And I trust by God's grace that you have already studied them or you will study them. I will refer to other scripture as well along with the ones that are in the quarterly. So we will look first at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. In fact, that's the chapter that our memory text is taken from, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. We shall read that from the New King James. And the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, my friends, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." As a matter of fact, we are told that love cannot be forced. Love cannot be forced. You cannot force love upon someone. You know, I remember when I first met my wife in New York City, I did not beat her over the head to love me back. I had to court her. I had to spend time with her, bring her flowers and take her out to dinner and just spend time with her. And over time, she began to also see that how much I love her, and she began to respond to me in love. Let me read to you from the Signs of the Times, April 15th, 1886. Signs of the Times, April 15th, 1886. The servant of God says, the divine law requires us to love God supremely and our neighbor as ourselves. Without the exercise of this love, this kind of love, not the type of love that the world is talking about, no, without the exercise of this love, the highest profession of faith is mere hypocrisy. Wow. So if we are claiming to love like God loves, and we don't demonstrate that to those around us, she's saying that it is mere hypocrisy. Now, the love that God has for us and the love that he produces in us and through us pervades throughout the entire Bible, the Old and New Testament. Many times people feel like, well, the Old Testament was about the law, and the New Testament is about love and grace. Oh, friends, if we study our Bibles carefully, we would recognize that the love of God pervades throughout the entire scripture, and God's love is always seen in every scripture that we read from Genesis to Revelation. Let us look at Matthew chapter 22, and we will read verses 34 to 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. What does the Bible say? Now, this is now Jesus Christ now being dealt with here, along with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. It's like it. It is similar to it. You shall love your neighbor and as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, every commandment and every law of the prophets all hang or are summed up, if you will, on these two commandments. Love for God supremely, which now, by natural consequence, results in love for your fellow man. And so, we read here that this similar commandment of love for neighbor is also the same as love for God. But you cannot have one without the other. As a matter of fact, we do not have the type of love that God wants us to love him back with. Nor do we have the love that God wants us to love our fellow men with. So the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that the Holy Spirit pours the love of God upon our hearts so that we could love God back. And in loving God, we love others. Because you cannot say you love God and not love your fellow man. Now let's look at Matthew. The quarterly gives us some other scripture. We read that also. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16, and I will read to verse 22. Matthew 19, 16 to 22. Here we go. Now behold, one came and said to him, that is one person, and we know it was a rich young ruler, came and said to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit or have eternal life? So he, Jesus, said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. So Jesus Christ was actually demonstrating to the man, he wasn't denying his Godship. He wasn't denying that he was good. In fact, he was saying clearly and audibly, I am the only one that is good amongst all of you all and all humanity because I am God. And so he said to him, but if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And this man, this rich young ruler, said to Jesus, which ones? Jesus answered, you shall not murder, commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not be a false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now hear what the young man said. He said to him, all these I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Have mercy. This is a critical question that I think we all should be asking Jesus Christ, because we tend to feel like we have kept all of God's commandments. We tend to feel like we have done all that is right. But sometimes we're like, well, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe just a little bit of little thing there that maybe I may have overlooked. So let me ask Jesus. Oh, friends, that is a dangerous pit that many of us fall into. And so the Bible says, the young man asked Jesus Christ, maybe I lack something? What else do I lack? Jesus said to him in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. But when the young man heard these words, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the problem that this young man had, and this is the problem that we have today. You know, many times I hear people say the problem the young man had, this young rich ruler, was his riches. Oh no, the riches were not the problem. The problem he had was an unconverted heart. A heart that was full of pride and selfishness, self-centeredness. He was so self-righteous that he missed out and he lacked the love of God. And so this man, the Bible says, because of that, he would not let go of his riches. Because he loved himself so much and he enjoyed the pleasures of sin so much, he would not let go of his riches. And so this man who thought he loved God really truly did not love God. Let me share with you the way that Mark's gospel puts it. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Here's how Mark puts it. I'm just going to read to you verse 21. Mark says, then Jesus looking at him, same story. Then Jesus looking at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. So Jesus was not simply just answering a question by rote response. No, Jesus cared for this man. He looked at him and loved him. The love that God loves us. Because God must first love us for us to love him back. And God, we know, is love. And so he looked at him and he loved him. And he showed him such a love as if to say he was penetrating his heart to convict him. Ah, but this man would not be convicted. The Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had too much. We are told here in our quarterly, in the book Desire of Ages, page 520, we are told Christ made the only terms which could place the ruler where he would be perfect, where he would perfect a Christian character. In other words, where he would reach maturity of Christian character. His words were words of wisdom, though they appeared severe and exacting. In accepting and obeying them was the ruler's only hope of salvation. You see, the ruler thought that he had been keeping the law, he had been doing all these wonderful things. Ah, but the only way to keep the law is to keep the law in Christ. And Christ loves others. This man only loved himself. His exalted position and his possessions were exacting a subtle influence for evil upon his character. If cherished, they would supplant God in his affection. To keep back little or much from God was to return that which would lessen his moral strength and efficiency. For if the things of this world are cherished, however uncertain and unworthy they may be, they will become all absorbing. And this is the trouble we are getting to. All these things that we tend to hold on to, they become self-absorbing. We build up treasures upon the earth. And Christ is telling this young man and all of us to lay up treasures in heaven, because that is where thieves and rust do not corrupt. We are chasing this world's goods at the expense of what is eternal. We are told that the things of this world are temporal, and the things of the eternity are eternal. Now, on Monday, we look at the two great sins. And the lesson tells us, if the two greatest commandments, yeah, which is all about love, is what God desires us to have, love for him and love for others, if those are the two greatest commandments, then the two greatest sins have to be hatred towards God and hatred towards our fellow man. It's a natural consequence. We cannot have one without the other. Now, hatred might sound like a harsh term, but that's what it is. That's what it is. If we love ourselves over others, it is hatred towards them. We may not think of it as that way. We may say, "Well, maybe I love God, but I love God just a little bit less than I love myself." Well, that's hatred. That's hatred to the one who has given all for you and for me. Anytime we are moved to give up ourselves, it is not because we are sacrificing something, because to give up self for somebody else is to give up all that we have for that person's good. And Christ made the greatest sacrifice in that he gave all that he has. All that Christ had was good and wonderful and excellent. All that we have is foolishness and wretchedness and poverty. So we don't make sacrifices. Christ is the one who has made the ultimate sacrifice. Now we read in Psalm 135, we read verses 13 to 19, Psalm 135. 13 to 19, it says, "Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths." Now listen to this in verse 18. "Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." Wow. This is amazing. God is saying that when we make idols and worship them, we are like them. Well, who did the idol idea come from? They came from me, right? So when I make the idol, I am really glorifying myself. But I don't have any power in me, and there is no power for good. So the Bible says that these idols are just like me, and I am just like the idols I create. And they are all doomed for destruction. And if I don't give up my idols, God in his love and mercy has to sadly put me away with what I have chosen. But that's not God's will for me. God's will for me is to save me in his kingdom. And so it is actually idolatry and self-worship that causes me to mistreat people. It is idolatry, let me say that again, it is idolatry and self-worship that causes me to mistreat people. Why do I say that? Because when I love myself, I am always looking to bring others down. When I am full of self-love, self-love causes me to look at others less than. And that is the danger that we face. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'd like for you to go back and read it. Many of you are familiar with Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And this is the parable that God gave of the Pharisee and the publican. Christ shared this parable when he was here on earth. Now we are told that this actually happened. The Pharisee, we are told, went to the temple to pray. I want to read to you what it says about the Pharisee. The Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. So the Pharisee was really just entertaining himself and boasting up to himself and thinks that that is a prayer. He was trying to inform God about himself, as if God does not know. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. That's exactly what happens when we put ourselves first. When we love ourselves over others, self-righteousness takes place. And this is called justification by works. Now, the publican, we are told, the Bible says he will not even go so much as to the front of the church, of the temple. He stayed all the way in the back there because he knew his condition. And he banged on his chest and looked down and says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that it is he who went home justified, justified by faith. And so, my friends, this is the trouble that we face in our lives today, that we are self-worshipping when God has called us to a higher standard, to love others. And so the greatest two sins is to love yourself over God and hence love yourself over your fellow man. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, the Bible tells us in Romans 13, verse 10, it says, love holds no ill towards his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. What? So if you say that you have love in your heart, what you're actually saying is that you keep the commandments of God. But if you say you keep the commandments of God and have not love, agape love is what I'm talking about here, and have not love, you really are a liar. Now in Tuesday's lesson, we have God loves justice. God loves what? Justice. And so, as we look at that lesson here, we say, the first paragraph says, Scripture declares that God loves justice and hates evil. And if you look at Psalm 33 there and Isaiah 61, you will see how he is deeply concerned about injustice. He is deeply concerned about injustice. As a matter of fact, we shall go ahead and read Psalm 82, and we're going to read a few verses there, Psalm 82. We shall read verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. And you could read the whole psalm. It gives you a full picture. But what God is saying here is, those who are in power, and sadly we are seeing that in our country today, and really across the world, those who are in power, rather than taking care of the poor and needy, they are usurping their authority and amassing wealth for themselves while they are trampling underfoot the poor and needy. And God calls them to account. God says, I am God, and I am the one who have called you in your responsible positions. But you are mistreating and abusing your position. And God is is giving an account and saying, I would hold you responsible on the way you treat my people who are not in a position to help themselves. As a matter of fact, we read here in the third paragraph, it says, further, they are charged defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. You see, God, the idea of God's love for justice is not something peripheral in the Bible. It is central to the message of the gospel. In fact, God himself does not ask us to do anything that he himself does not do and has not done. In fact, before he asks us to do anything, he first would do it. So we see God himself becoming man and becoming sin for us and dying the death that we should die, that we would have the life that only he deserves. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve any life. But he did it that we might be forgiven and go at last to heaven with him, saved by his precious blood. And so we read here in our fourth paragraph, it is no secret. God desires and requires of those who would claim to love and obey him. God desires justice from us. He specifies very clearly in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 and other passages as well. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That word for mercy there in the Old Testament is the word hesed. It is similar to the word in the Greek in the New Testament for agape. God says we must do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And if we do that, the Bible says actually we can't do that in our own strength. We don't have the power to love God, do justly, and to walk humbly with our God. We don't have that power. But God says that he, over there in Philippians chapter 2, well, in verse 5, it tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind, in other words, let the thing happen to you. Let it happen to you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yes? In other words, Jesus Christ, though he was God, did not count it robbery to be equal with God, for he was God, but made himself of no reputation, and he became a man. And then in verse 13, it tells us of that same chapter, Philippians 2 verse 13, it says, it is God then who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In other words, we cannot do the thing, we cannot do good, we cannot love like God loves, so he does it in us, for us, and through us. But we have to let him. We have to let him. If you don't let him, God gives us free will. He gives us free will that we will choose and choose right. The free will God gives us is already informed by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived a life of right doing, of righteousness. In fact, Jesus Christ lived our life. His life was the life of God. But he came down to earth and lived our lives and was victorious in our lives. He loved justice. He loved mercy. As a matter of fact, when you read Isaiah chapter 61, you would see that God gave a prediction that Christ would come and set the captive free. He loves mercy. He loves justice. He is good towards all men. And we are told that if Christ lives in us, he will reproduce these same virtues in us and through us to others. And so, my friends, as we look at this here, it says in the last paragraph there on Tuesday, this sentiment is echoed throughout the entire scripture. Which sentiment? That God calls for justice and for love. The lesson quotes here from John's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 35. John 13 and verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So if you are claiming to be a disciple of God, if you are claiming to be God's child, if you are claiming to be a Christian, and your profession is inconsistent with the way you treat your fellow man, whether it is your neighbor right in the next house by you, or your co-worker, who is also your neighbor, by the way, according to the Bible, or your children, or the people at church, or at school, or wherever you find yourself, or must I say, on the road when you drive. If you treat others unkindly, well, really, Jesus Christ says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. This is what it is. Christ is saying, you really have done it unto me, if that is the way you're treating the least among you. That's what the two greatest commandments are. It is love for God and love for your fellow man. But how you treat your fellow man is really truly reflective of how you treat Jesus. And so as we look at Wednesday's lesson, we are called to establish justice. Called to establish justice. The Bible talks, the lesson talks about the prophets in Scripture continually highlight God's call for justice in our society, in society. Again and again, Scripture does not shrink back from highlighting issues of injustice and oppression. Indeed, the call for God to bring judgment was itself the call for God to establish justice. And he talks here about the prophet Isaiah. He did not mince words about the injustice in Israel at the time. His words and call for justice should ring loud and clear in our ears today, as we see injustice taking a hold in our society. The Bible tells us that the love of many would wax cold. That word love there that Christ talked about, that would wax cold, it is the word agape. The agape of many would wax cold, which means that they were already people of God, because only people of God have agape. But they've gotten so caught up with the politics of the world and the politics of our country that the love which they once claimed to have waxes cold. The pastor is preaching on the seven churches. And last week we dealt on the church of Ephesus. It says, but one thing you lack. You do all these wonderful things, but you have left your first love. And unless you repent and come back to it, God says he will remove you from his sight. He will take off your lamp from the lampstand. So this is very important to God. Very important to God. It says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have lost your first love. Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Matthew. The quarterly calls us to look at Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 to 30. Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 to 30. I'm going to read 23 to 27. You could read the rest of it at your own leisure. Matthew 23, 23 to 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. This is now Jesus Christ talking. Hypocrites. Wow. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. That's like you pay tithe of your little spices in your garden, your little herbs, all these little plants. And you pay tithe of those. You're so proud of them. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These ought to have been done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Wow, Christ is like, I'm going to say this again. He's like rubbing it in. For good, though, for good. For you cleanse the outside of the cup, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Verse 26. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. That's who we are. We dress so nicely for church. We look so good. Our neighbors are looking through their window, and they're like, wow, they see us looking all nice and prepped up and trim, and we go into church. But tomorrow we're ready to tear them apart when their dog comes into our yard and makes a mess. Or when their children are not acting right. We are not demonstrating what our profession is. And Jesus Christ says, woe to you, woe to me. Righteousness is love. It says, owe no man anything but love. Owe no man anything but right doing. Righteousness is love. We just read that from Romans 13, verse 10. And because lawlessness, we are seeing now in our country and in the world, in our political leaders, we're seeing lawlessness. We're seeing even in the church, in the apostate church, lawlessness. And because lawlessness, do you understand that the law of God is binding throughout all ages? And when we lay aside the love of God, I'm talking about the law of God in its spirit, not just in the letter, then what we see is lawlessness, and when that happens, the love of many waxes cold. And that's what we're seeing today in our country. And the Bible tells us, and we also get caught up in it, and our love which we once had waxes cold. And so the question is, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Of course, the account is given in Luke's Gospel. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 29, where this lawyer comes trying to justify himself, he says, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus Christ gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. We are all familiar with that parable in Luke chapter 10. We're not going to take the time to read it, but we understand that in the story of the Good Samaritan, we understand that this man was going down the road to Jericho when he was mobbed and mugged and robbed by thieves, and they left him half dead. And now the preacher comes, the priest, the man who officiates in God's temple. And the Bible says he sees the man, and not wanting to contaminate and make himself impure, defile himself, he walks by the other way. He has too much business to go attend to. And then comes the Levite, right? The assistant to the priest. And he does the exact same thing. But they are going to the temple. They are going to tell people about the love of God. But here comes this Samaritan man who tended to not care who this man was on the ground. He didn't care if he was a Jew. He didn't care if he was a Samaritan. He did not care. All he cared about was, I need to take care of this man right now. And he got off his horse, and he bent over and attended to the needs of this man and took him further still to an inn and paid money for his care. Oh, friends, That is what Christ has called us to be. Because the Good Samaritan represents Christ and his character. And he has called us to be representatives of his character, of his truth, of his goodness. I'm going to read to you from a book called Sons and Daughters of God. Sons and Daughters of God. And I'm going to read to you from page 52, Sons and Daughters of God. The worshiper of God will find that he cannot cherish one fiber of the root of selfishness. He cannot do his duty to his God and practice oppression toward his fellow man. The second principle of the law is like the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This do, and thou shalt live. These are the words of Jesus Christ, from which there can be no departure on the part of any man, woman, or youth who would be a true Christian. It is obedience to the principles of the commandments of God that molds the character after the divine similitude. To leave, listen to this, friends, to leave a suffering neighbor unrelieved is a breach of the law of God. He who loves God will not only love his fellow men, but will regard with tender compassion the creatures which God has made. When the Spirit of God is in man, it leads him to relieve rather than to create suffering. Ah, let that sink in. It leads to relieve suffering rather than to create suffering. We are to care for every case of suffering and to look upon ourselves as God's agents to relieve the needy to the very uttermost of our ability. We are to be laborers together with God. There are some who manifest great affection, great affection for their relatives, for their friends, and their favorites, who yet fail to be kind and considerate to those who need tender sympathy, who need kindness and love. With earnest heart, let us inquire, who is my neighbor? Our neighbors are not merely our neighbors and special friends. Let me read that again. Our neighbors are not merely our neighbors and special friends, are not simply those who belong to our church or who we think or who think as we do. Our neighbors are the whole human family. We are to do good to all men, and especially those who are of the household of faith. We are to give the world an exhibition of what it means to carry out the law of God. We are to love God supremely and our neighbors as ourselves. Oh, friends, this is what it means to keep the two greatest commandments. Love for God supremely, which results in, by natural consequence, love for our neighbors. If we claim to love God and hate our neighbor, no matter what they look like, because many times we like to class people, and we like this person, and we do not like that person, if we claim to love God, and we hate our fellow man, because of what they look like, because of how they speak, because of what they have or not have, we are liars. And liars cannot inherit the kingdom of God because sin cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, friends, Christ wants to produce in us his character, his righteousness, his works. Let us let him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Walk by faith and not by sight. Therefore, being justified by faith, like the publican who went to his house justified, we have peace with God. But if we want to insist on being like the Pharisee, I have done all these things. What lack I yet? If we insist on holding on to the things of this world and at the same time think we are worshiping God, oh friends, it will be a sad situation. We love him because he first loved us. And having loved us, he loved us to the very end. And then he says he pours his love upon our hearts. Not that we should hold it to ourselves, but of necessity, and it will be poured out to others. And so as we close our lesson today, I want to again give you the information for today's study. It is a CD-DVD offer number CS and CAT 202512. CS and CAT 202512. And you could also call 916-457-6511, 916-457-6511. Or you could write to csh@sackcentral.org. May God bless you as you let the Spirit of God pour his love on your hearts. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for the truth of your word. We thank you that you have blessed us with your Holy Spirit who sheds abroad your love upon our hearts. May that love now cause us to go out of this place and spread it to others. May the Spirit of God work within us. May Christ be made alive in us, that others will see us and experience the love of God and come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.